How we doing, family? It feels like it was a fight to get here this week. So let's just shake it off, everyone. Deep breath in, deep breath out. Okay, turn to your neighbor, poke them, and say, don't cut me. You gotta poke them. Don't cut me. Okay, good. Let's have some fun, but not too much fun because it's church. Okay, so David came to me and he was like, you're preaching next week, right? And I was like, I am? Oh, okay. And what's cool is that when I'm reading scripture, when I'm reading things, sometimes I find something and I go, that makes no sense. Why? And it activates my curiosity. So why? Why is this this way? And this sermon is out of one of those questions. So I hope that us together, I know there's been lots of words and there's been lots of things said to you. I hope that we can find out the answer to my question. I'll pose in a minute. First of all, Uncut Stones, that's my title if you're taking notes. I always give you my whole sermon in one sentence for the ADHDers or I can't pay attentioners. Here's my whole sermon. Jesus makes uncut stones into holy places. Jesus makes uncut stones into holy places. And if you want my passage, go to Exodus 20, 22 to 25. That's where I'm going right now. So turn your Bibles, open something up. Come with me. Okay, are you there? Are we ready? Are we good? You can interact with me, right? You can say, yes, I'm there. Okay, just wait it. Just wait a minute. I love that. Hold on. Hold your horses, big fella. Yeah, thanks, Virginia. Appreciate you. Okay, let me read. Let me read to you. It's just a little, it's a little passage. It's not too long. Here we go, verse 22. And the Lord said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel. You saw for yourselves that I spoke to you from heaven. Remember, you must not make any idols of silver or gold to rival me. Build for me an altar made of earth and offer your sacrifices to me, your burnt offerings and peace offerings, your sheep and goats and your cattle. Build my altar wherever I cause my name to be remembered, and I will come to you and I will bless you. If you use stones to build my altar, use only natural, uncut stones. Do not shape the stones with the tool, for that would make the altar unfit for holy use. And then the last verse, which I didn't include, and we're not going to go into, but just for posterity, I'm going to read it too. And do not approach my altar by going up steps. If you do, someone might look up under your clothing and see your nakedness. So everyone turn to your neighbor and say, don't look at my... Okay, okay. No, no, no. Okay, so here's my question. Why? Why uncut? Why uncut stones? Don't even have a tool. It's because I'm reading this, because me and Jose, we've read through the Bible once, and now we're going through it again together again. And I just read this passage, and I was like, why only use uncut stones? Okay, so let me give you a couple like things so that we can all be on the same page. This is the old covenant. This is so different from now because there was animals, there was sacrifices, there was altars. What is an altar? Here it is. It's a nice little picture. Do you like this picture? I found it just for you because I didn't know what an altar was. I had to look it up. So this is what it is. It's just this big section of stones. Usually they'd have one big stone on there because they were offering an animal. They were taking an animal and they were slaughtering it on top of this altar. And then they were burning it. And that's why I said it's so different from now. What is an altar? It's a place to offer sacrifice of an animal. Why are we offering sacrifices? Because of our sin. So no matter who you are, no matter what you came in here with, all of us have committed a sin, or at least a sin. I would say most of us have more than one. This is anything that goes against the character of God. It's anything that he commands us not to do. And we know that we're not perfect people. And the problem with our sin is it separates us from God. It creates this rift between us and him. So how do we get back? What is the thing? It's blood. sacrifice requires blood. Okay, so we sin. There is a consequence for our sin, and it's death. Blood is what the consequence is. And in the Old Testament, they would take animals and they would slaughter them, and the blood would cover the altar, and then there would be appeasement from that sin. So why uncut stones? Okay, so Pastor David said I was in my office, and I was studying, and I was like, why uncut stones? Okay, are you ready? This is huge. This is a big revelation. Because they would make idols, okay? And you're like, what is an idol? Okay, so an idol is anything that they would shape into looking like a god. Usually they'd take like wood or stones and they would create for themselves a god. If you want to know an example of this, the golden calf would be a really great example. They go up on the mountain, come back down, and they're already worshiping this little golden calf. And so they would take stones, they would take other things, make them into gods and worship them. You go, well, that's pretty silly. God knows us. He knows our hearts. And he knows, especially at this time when they were just learning to follow him, his people, the people of Israel, that if they so much as got one tool in their hand to shape an altar, they would make idols. And they would pursue something that wasn't him. So there's the whole sermon. Don't make idols. Don't have tools. Okay? That's it. You can go home. Just kidding. I got a little bit more for you. So we should build altars. I know that when you hear that, you go, okay, well, then we don't build altars. We're not burning animals now. What is an altar? I know it's a little bit confusing. I would say we should build altars because we still sacrifice things to God. We still bring ourselves. We still bring praises. We just spend so much time offering ourselves that sacrifice of praise or maybe repentance to him again. So we should build altars. We should offer sacrifices. And the altar in this time, it didn't symbolize, because everything symbolizes something. It actually symbolized the people. So the sacrifice wasn't the symbolistic thing of us. It was actually the altar itself. And I think the reason why it's symbolic of this is because we're imperfect. Because we don't come with all the nice rounded edges. We have sharp edges. We have rough spots. We have places where we've been beaten up and it's chiseled and torn apart in some places. It's imperfect. But regardless of this imperfection, you are the altar. And when we know that we are altars in ourselves, we often try to create a place that's fit enough for God. Often, I want to be good enough for you. So let me tell you this story. I was a youth pastor before this, and my church was very showy in a good way. We had like the best worship. It was so awesome. And like you would walk in and there was a lot to do with how it looked. And it's not necessarily bad, but I found that I was copying that and I was losing the essence of why we do a youth service. It's to meet with Jesus. And so I felt God tell me to strip it all back and do like a completely impromptu, little worship set, and I can strum the guitar, and I can hold a tune. So I got rid of the youth worship team, and just me and a guitar up there, and no lights, and no show, and kind of lyrics, like just so you could follow along. And I just wanted the kids to meet with Jesus without all the fluff. Because sometimes we idolize the fluff, right? It needs to be this way in order for me to hear from God. And that is not the case. You can hear from God more powerfully without any music sometimes. You can hear from God so powerfully, you alone, in the middle of nowhere. So I wanted them to come into an experience with Jesus. And wouldn't you know it, a brand new youth shows up that week. And the mom comes in. I meet them at the door. Hello, yes, I'm Danny. I'm the youth pastor. She shakes my hand. She goes, can I stay for a little bit? And I'm assuming It's to vet me and make sure I'm not crazy. She's sending her kids to this thing. And I go, yeah, for sure. Come in, have a seat. And there's like no anything going on. There's no fluff, remember? And I'm really reliant on the fluff at this point. And so I'm like, it's not always like this. Like, it's not always awkward. There's music a lot of the time. And I swear, and usually I have more stuff. And she's like, oh, yeah, it's fine. She doesn't care. She doesn't know. And so I'm like, oh, yeah. And I keep on telling her, it's not like this. It's not like this. And she's like, I don't care. She's just sitting there, but I'm so insecure. And so the kid comes in, they participate. I am really awkward because now I'm nervous and I'm strumming my guitar and whatever. So I do the whole service. And she comes to me afterwards. She goes, it was so awesome. I loved it. Like, I can't wait for my kid to come back. It was incredible. And then he never came back. So I don't know if she really liked it or she's just greasing me up. But, like, she said these things. And what it proved to me was I was trying to create this thing. Take a tool in my hand and try and make it look good and make it fluffy and attractive and all these things. But in the end, it was never about how it looked. It was never about how it felt. It was always about the one and only sacrifice of Jesus. And so, we too build altars. We try to do this. I'm going to talk about two things, and we're kind of going to come at it from a couple different angles, and I hope you leave feeling super convicted. Are you right? Are you ready to feel bad about yourself? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, number one, stop trying to build attractive altars. Stop trying to build attractive altars. And this is just trying to change ourselves, trying to shape the stones that are rocky and bruised and beaten and all these things. I think because we know that we are unworthy, right? I talked a little bit about that before. I think we don't offer ourselves as an altar sometimes because we see that we are unworthy. And so maybe you're sitting there and you go, well, I've been a Christian for a long time, Pastor. I offer myself. I know what this is about. And maybe you do. Maybe you don't. Maybe you do. I know that I don't often get caught up in this trap too often, but I can. We look at ourselves and we see our imperfections. Oh, man, I messed up again. Oh, man, I did something wrong again. And we hide away. And we tear down our altar and we say, no, I know I'm not worthy enough for your presence, God. I know that I can't do anything to possibly earn it. So you just tear it down and you hide yourself away. And then what happens almost inevitably as you remove yourself is you feel the weight. Because God wants to be close to you and you're made to be close to God. It's a relationship where there's intimacy. So much so, it's even more than a husband and a wife. It's that kind of closeness. And so when you get far away from God, you feel uncomfortable. You feel depressed. You feel anxious. You feel all these different things. And so what do we do when we're in this pit? We try to comfort ourselves. Because we're so far away and we're like, I am unworthy and I'm not like this. And I can't be close to God because I know how dirty or sinful or how beaten up my altar is, my rocks. And so instead of putting the rightful sacrifice, we try to keep ourselves at least a little bit comfortable because we hate being uncomfortable. So we put things actually on the altar and start making sacrifices to our own selves. We start to put things on this altar where we worship ourselves. The very thing that is supposed to bring us close, our body becomes a haven for the worship of us. And it's easy to think about this and go, yeah, you know, when people are really far from God, I can see how they can get into addictions. I can see how they can end up on the street. And I'm not saying that that's a wrong way to think. That is a form when we worship ourselves, we glorify ourselves. But man, Christians, it doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for a really long time or not. All of you in some way struggle with this. And maybe you don't pass out with a needle in your arm, but maybe you have an ice cream spoon in your mouth. Or maybe you just heard something from someone else that someone else was gossiping about you and slandering you. And so you binge watch a whole Netflix series in one day. Because we want to feel okay. And instead of building the altar that is worthy, I would say being built into the altar that is worthy, we start to hide away and we put our own sacrifices on our own altar to glorify ourselves. Whew. If you think I don't do this, I do this. I may have tossed all of the un-Christian addictions, but it's like I have to watch how much caffeine I drink. I have to watch how much caffeine I drink because I can try to take this in to comfort me. Oh, just another cup of coffee. Oh, just another cup of coffee. Oh, just another cup of coffee. We worship ourselves. Why? Because we know that we're unworthy and we pull away and we hide our altar. And maybe you're not there. Maybe that's not what you do. Maybe you just try and shape yourself in a way that is worthy about what we know about God. Maybe you see yourself as not enough and you go, I'll fix it. I have a grand idea. I'm just going to make myself worthy enough. And just like all of those people back in the Old Testament, God said, don't even touch it. Don't even touch the tool because you're going to make an idol. We do it too. And we try and chisel away and we say, oh, we're not good enough. So chisel, chisel, chisel. And soon enough, I've made an idol. I've made something else that I'm following and worshiping. Maybe it's money or success. Where I'm going, if I just made enough money, I could finally start tithing. That's not how it works. Maybe if I just was successful enough, people would love me and want to notice me. That's also not how it works. Maybe you see someone. Maybe you look at a pastor and go, yeah, he's the best, this celebrity pastor. I want to be more like him. Or maybe it's someone that you know and you actually get to interact with and they become an idol for you. Maybe it's health. There are people who are addicted to vanity. And they go to the gym and it's not out of this, like, I want to prepare my temple for God. It's I want other people to look at me so I can finally feel proud of myself because I feel so dirty inside. Maybe you're chasing experiences or knowledge. How many of you are guilty of saying, I'll tell people about Jesus once I know enough about him? I know that was me. I would say, as long as I can know enough, then I will tell people about Jesus. And Jesus doesn't say that. He says, go and make disciples. When? Because you follow him. It has nothing to do with knowledge and everything to do with obedience. So this is what I'm saying. We try and shape ourselves because we know that we're unworthy. I remember when I was like fresh minted pastor. So I walk across the stage, the Bible college president shakes my hand. I have this fancy degree that says, Danny knows what he's doing. Sure. Sure. And I put it in my room. I got it framed and I'm awesome. I'm the best. I finally know what I'm doing. I have this degree. And that summer, I didn't get hired on. I was youth pastoring at this time, but I took on an internship. And so I played around with sound. That's why I sit in the soundboard sometimes. I did lights and production, and I did a whole bunch of funerals that summer. Got paid pretty good for it, too. But I remember the first week that I was there, and there was a pastor's conference that the pastor was putting on, the lead of that church. It was a pretty big church. David worked there before, David and Lisa. They you know, there's a lot of chairs in that building is where I'm going with that. There's a lot more chairs than in here. And Pastor Danny, fresh, newly minted in his internship, is stacking chairs. Stacking chairs and moving them around. And all the real pastors are doing pastor work. And I'm stuck stacking chairs. And so I remember talking with God and being like, God, what am I doing here? This is so stupid. I finally know what I'm doing. And like, maybe if I just do this. Maybe if I just learn more. Maybe if I just strive so that they'll see me. Maybe if I just insert, fill in the blank, then I'll be good enough. And I remember God saying, like, dude, stack the chairs. Sometimes God meets me in my stupidity and says, like, I don't know. He doesn't call me dude, but that's how I feel. That's often how I feel. Danny, don't you know what I've created you for? Don't you know the things that I have for you? But you'll never get there if you're not humble. You'll never get there if you don't learn to sacrifice. And so here I was chasing success, something that I didn't have at that moment. Even though I had a degree and I had that success, I was chasing something. And in that, I started to worship who they were. I started to chase who they were. Stop trying to build attractive altars. Other way, other side. Stop lying about your shaped altar. Because some of us have been in this for a while now, and you may see yourself as pretty holy. You know, I'm not doing this anymore. I quit that. I'm not looking at this anymore. I'm not doing these things. And you go, oh, I must be a more worthy altar. I must be a little smoother. This is the spirit of religiosity or religion or whatever. It's this puffed up pride. Religiosity, it says this, shape your stones before you offer your sacrifices. Put this a different way. Do this and then you can experience communion and closeness and the power of God. So only can you belong once you do this. And we're so guilty of this. So if you're sitting here and you're going, I don't do this, I guarantee you, you do this. Because all of us put ourselves in this judgment seat where we say, I'll never be like that. I'll never do this thing anymore. And then you puff yourself up. I'm not like that anymore. I'm not like them. And so often I find myself in this spot. And I actually made a vow that I was never going to be like this. Because before I was a Christian, there was silly people who thought they were so good, and I was like, yeah, who cares if I do all these bad things? At least I'm not hypocritical like you guys in the church. Anybody ever hear that before? There's only hypocrites in the church. Well, there's imperfect people in the church. So Pastor David, he says often, come authentically. That doesn't mean that you have to put on this mask in order to belong, because we're all imperfect and we're all searching for meaning and we're all searching for connection. And so we believe that somehow, because God has worked in our lives, because we have less rocky edges on our altar, because it's a little smoother, we can somehow lift that up and put that against other people. And that's not true. This is what Jesus actually says to the people who are doing this. This is the Pharisees. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites. Sometimes we are the hypocrites, and sometimes we are hypocritical too. People are hypocritical to us. For you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. Yeah, I can only say this, I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of it. I remember when I wasn't saved, before you judge me too harshly, and I loved smoking. I still do. It's a temptation that I have to resist. But I quit smoking and started vaping. And so I didn't know what I was going to do with my life, and I started working at this vape shop. And all of you are like, whoa, this is crazy. He's revealing all these things, because I want you to see that even though I get to be up here, I didn't shape my stones. God did. So I'm working at this vape shop, and I'm broken, and I'm sinful, and I don't know the Lord. But this lady comes in. Her name was Gwen. She was a nice old lady. And she comes in. She says, I don't know about anything, but I really want to quit smoking. Can you get me set up? And I said, yeah, yeah, for sure. So we end up talking, and we had a little cafe. And so they would come, and they would sit, and Gwen stood with me. She sat with me for a long time, for many hours. And she told me that she was a Christian. And I had no use for God at this point. I just wanted to live in my own way, in my own stubbornness. But Gwen said, no, I'm a Christian. She never shoved it down my throat, but she would tell me about her church and about this and that. And she once told me, it was when we had gotten to know each other a little bit, that she was so ashamed of this habit. And she would say, like, I had to wash my hands 25 times before I went to church, and I made sure to chew like a wad of gum this big so that no one would know that I was sinful. Because if they did, if they found out that I smoked, they would reject me. And so she started vaping, and I don't know, I will say I don't think it's too much better, but at least it's maybe not as stinky, so she could hide it a little bit more. And so time and time and time again, she would come into the cafe, she would tell me about Jesus and how miraculous and amazing he was, and how she felt that the people were just hypocritical. And she couldn't kick this habit till one day she just didn't come in anymore. And I don't know what happened to Gwen. I'm pretty sure, she ended up quitting. I'm pretty sure that somehow, in some way, in some form, no matter how hard she tried to shape her stone, no matter how much shame she felt from being with people who put on a mask and said, my stones are more shaped than yours, so come up to me. Somehow, some way, Jesus took a little hammer and a little chisel and in the most majestic way possible created this marble stone in her life. So don't for a minute think that you can be on one side or the other. You just have to know that every single time you try to build your altar, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Of the worship team, come back up. We're gonna finish with these couple thoughts. I've been telling you, you cannot shape your altar. You cannot do it. Your altar is defiled because of this sin or this stain. And we need something to purify us. We need something to make us right. God doesn't make us change our imperfections. That's what I've been saying to you this whole time. He doesn't make us change them. He covers them and he renews them, and slowly he changes us into a fitting place for the sacrifice. So here's my question. If we're not supposed to cut these stones, if we know that we are imperfect and even defiled by our sin, which separates us, how can we be made pure and perfect? Stay with me, church. The only thing that purifies an altar is blood. The only thing that purifies an altar is blood. Look at this. We're going to go to Leviticus 16. It says, then Aaron will come out to purify the altar that stands before the Lord. He will do this by taking some of the blood from the bull and the goat and putting it on each of the horns of the altar. 19, then he must sprinkle the blood with his finger 7 times over the altar. In this way, he will cleanse it from Israel's defilement and make it holy. Make it holy, because it's the blood. It's the blood that cleanses this altar. And when we look at this Old Testament sacrifice, that is what covers the altar. That is what makes it holy. But we don't live in the old covenant, do we, church? We live in a new covenant with a new high priest, with a new one who came down and put on flesh and made a way where there was no way. And let me tell you this, his blood covers you now. We can be excited about this. I know, it's been a lot of talking. But I want you to hear this. You can be excited because it's not up to you. And it never was. God knew from the very beginning that when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, he said, I'm going to make a way. And Satan, you'll have your licks. You'll get them in. But my son, he's going to crush your head. And we get to live in the freedom of that now, knowing that we'll make mistakes. We're going to sin again. I can guarantee you. But it was never up to you to cover that. It was never up to you to fix that. It was up to you to be submitted to the one who purifies you, who covers you with his blood. And the more he covers you and the more that he shapes you, the more that you realize you could have never done it in your own strength. And the more that you just submit to him, the more you let him build you up, the more you let go, the more holy you become. This is what Hebrews says. Then he said, this blood confirms the covenant God has made with you. And in the same way, he sprinkled blood on the tabernacle and on everything used for worship. In fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with what? Say it with me, blood. For the shedding of blood, for without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. None. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Here's the truth. He doesn't accept the altar. He accepts the sacrifice. God does not accept the altar. He accepts the sacrifice that's placed on the altar. We don't read, not once, that God consumes the altar. No, we read, and God consumed the sacrifice. Because altars are not holy because of who built them or how they look. Altars are holy because of what is on it. And in God's eyes, the most beautiful thing is his son. And he lays his son upon that altar, which is you. He puts his son upon you, the imperfect altar. And his blood covers you and makes you right. This cross that we look at, that we know as a symbol, is the holy altar. This place where the Lamb of God, which is Jesus, he was slain. This one cross was rugged and rough. It was an instrument of torture for criminals. And what once was, now is something totally different. God took what it was, the imperfectness, the ruggedness, all the cracks and splinters, and made it into what it is. People wear crosses around their neck now because of what it symbolizes. From death to freedom. So, you are an altar. You are an altar. God is not impressed by the version of you that you have shaped. He's moved by the sacrifice that he's laid on top of your unshaped, unpolished, and unfinished life. That's where the grace meets you. Not on the altar that you think that you can build, but at the altar that you stop trying to build. Your rough edges don't scare him and your imperfections don't surprise him. That's literally the place that he chose to meet you, church. So we're going to sing a song now. We're going to offer a sacrifice. So why don't you stand to your feet in preparation? And as we offer our sacrifices, I want you to know this. Look to the Son. Look to the one whose shed blood is the thing that covers and purifies us. And our sacrifices of praise, God, you're so worthy, God, you're so holy and righteous and lifted up. And we praise him, or maybe we say, I need to come into repentance again. I need to turn from what I was doing and truly follow him. I want you to know that your sacrifice mingles with his blood and it creates an aroma to God that is so pleasant and pleasing. So the band's going to lead us, and we're going to stop trying, and we're going to start doing. We're going to stop trying to build our altar, and we're going to start letting him. So why don't we sing together? So Jesus, thank you that we don't have to make ourselves into a vessel or an altar that is worthy enough. Thank you that we can simply come into your presence, and that every single time we do, you cut and chisel away the things that we want to cut and chisel away. That you actually give us the desires of our hearts. You give us the right things to want. So would you right now in the hearts and minds and lives of my family, my people, would you come and meet them, Holy Spirit? Would you take all the negative, all the bad, all the chipped and rugged pieces that we have within the recesses of our lives, the deep things? Would you do a deep work? Would you take these pieces and would you turn them into something beautiful? Or would you take all these ashes and turn them into something beautiful? Would you take a cross and turn it into freedom? Would you take my sin and my shame and would you turn it into glory for your name's sake? Father, we lift up ourselves to you as an altar on which your Son can rest. We lift ourselves up in this moment. All the secret sins that we have that we don't want anyone to know about, we lift those up to you, Father, right now, because you know them. You know when we lie down and you know when we get up. So you certainly are there, even in the midst, in the depth of our depravity. Would you meet us there in that moment? And would you say, I've covered you. I've covered you. I've covered you. My blood is more than sufficient for you. Would you go in and take that hammer and chisel away those parts of us that we just can't get rid of? And then for those places that we puff ourselves up and say, we want to look good enough for you, God, we submit these nice rounded pieces and we say, to you be the glory and all the honor because you have done the work and you alone. You are more than enough. You are glorious. You are amazing. And you are worthy of our praise. So we lift you, Jesus, King of Kings, God incarnate, Emmanuel, and we worship you. We worship you because of who you are. I ask in Jesus' name, as we go out, would you cover us with that blood again? So that when we go to the parking lot and we go to our bedrooms and we go to work this week, that we would remember that you alone pave the way. You alone cover us. You alone deserve the glory. And we just get to be places where your Son rests. Create in us that clean heart again and give us joy and peace as we've surrendered those hard things in this moment. So as we go, keep us in your love. As we go, keep us purified and holy. And as we go, help us to remember to seek you above everything else, and to cast these things aside. We love you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, and all my family said, amen. Feel free to linger, but otherwise, God bless you. I'll see you next week.